Our first reading is taken from Jeremiah chapter 31, going from verses 31 to 34, and can be found on page 793. The time is coming, declares the Lord, where I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After that time, declares the Lord, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor, or a man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, because they will know me from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more.
The second lesson is from John chapter 15, verses 1 to 10, and can be found on page 1083. The vine and the branches. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's command and remain in his love. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word to us. As we come now to reflect upon it, we ask for the help of your Holy Spirit to guide us and to lead us in our thinking and our understanding. Then, Lord, help us to respond to your word appropriately. In Jesus' name, amen. I came across a really bizarre story this week. In the United States, a couple were arrested for selling golden tickets to heaven. Tito and Amanda Watts sold these golden tickets for $99.99 and told buyers that all they had to do was to present this golden ticket at the pearly gates, literally, and they would get into heaven where a reserved spot was awaiting them. Now, given what the police found when they arrested them, it's clear that this couple were on drugs and they were using the money for drugs. Now, there are some strange and some evil people in this world, so this story didn't particularly surprise me. What did, however, surprise me was this, was that the police found $1,000 as a result of this scam. That means that at least 10 people bought these golden tickets. Now, I worry about these 10 people who were taken in by such a bizarre scam, but more than that, I worry for them that they thought that they could buy a place in heaven through cash, and it would cost them less than $100 at that. Some people have weird and wonderful ideas about God and then subsequently about the afterlife, etc. But what this covenant service each year helps us to do is to focus once again on our relationship with the Lord and how indebted we are to him, that we get to enjoy this covenant relationship with him, no strings attached. We don't have to worry about the afterlife because this covenant is all about grace. This covenant is all about grace. It's about what God has already done in Christ and how he simply invites us to share in this covenant relationship with him. It's natural for us to think about a covenant as a contract. Two parties getting together and wheeling and dealing until they find a common ground, something to agree on. That's a contract. That's different to what we understand as covenant. Because this covenant with God is actually one-sided, really. God has already established the covenant as a result of his love through Christ. For our part, then, it is our responsibility to enjoy this relationship with our God by surrendering completely to his lordship and authority in worship and in service. That is our response to God's loving faithfulness. As Sammy's just said with the kids, each new year, many people make New Year's resolutions. Gym memberships always go up. People decide that they're going to get healthier and fitter and lose weight, etc. And then after a while, it fizzles out. Sammy, I'm going to keep you accountable on the reading the Bible bit anyway. And it's all done with good intentions, whatever our New Year's resolutions are. But if we're honest, they normally fizzle out after into sort of February, March time. We forget about them. Other things come in on our daily responsibilities. I heard about a man who moved into a retirement community to spend the rest of his life there, and it wasn't long until he had made a number of friends among the other residents. And there was one lady he was especially attracted to, and she was attracted to him, and they spent a lot of time together. Finally, one evening, he proposed asking her to marry him. The next morning he woke, remembering his proposal, but he couldn't remember her answer. So he went to her and said, "Look, I'm sorry, I'm really embarrassed. I proposed to you last night, but I can't remember if you said yes or no." "Oh, thank goodness," she said. "I remember saying yes, but I couldn't remember who asked me." It's easy for us to forget about commitments and resolutions, particularly the ones we make at New Year, but at any other time. Often the children's address runs seamlessly into the sermon. This is one of those occasions where I cringed when Sammy was talking about covenant as like New Year's resolutions, because I want to say the exact opposite this morning. Because actually, and it was a good point made for the children, but actually for us theologically, let's understand this. Covenant with God is not like a New Year's resolution. We're not making promises that really we can't keep, even with all the good intentions that we would hope to keep. You see, if it was like that, then no wonder that many people feel that they can never live up to this covenant relationship, so that they don't even try. But rather, this covenant is all about grace. It's about the God who takes the initiative, who establishes the covenant, who then invites us to be his people and to live life to the full as followers of Jesus Christ. Now, that doesn't mean, therefore, that we are casual about this. Of course it doesn't. It means that we're actually really serious about our relationship with God, that we are truly grateful for his gracious invitation to be in relationship with him. So many Christians still have a works-based understanding of our relationship with God. And it goes something like this. As long as I am good enough, as long as I read my Bible enough, as long as I pray enough, as long as I go to church enough, then God will be happy with me and I'll get saved and go to heaven, etc. It becomes a box-ticking exercise. And this faulty theology paralyzes many Christians because they are living in fear of never meeting a certain standard. But the good news is that this is a covenant of grace. This is truly liberating for us when we grasp this understanding that this is initiated by God because of his loving faithfulness. And he invites us to play our part. A definition of grace is something like this. That grace is God's undeserved and unearned kindness towards me. It guarantees his love and pardon while evoking thanksgiving and equipping me to follow him. You see, grace requires nothing from me. In fact, that is the core element of grace. I cannot in any way add anything to God's grace. To add anything to grace, i.e. human effort or even human responsibility, redefines and corrupts the word. It becomes another gospel, to use Paul's phrase in Galatians, which is speaking directly to the corruption of grace. It's been said, grace plus anything is not grace. Unger's Bible Dictionary says, grace rules out all human merit. Any mixture of human effort violates grace. Now, I understand this doesn't sit well with many people because it seems just too good to be true. If someone came up to you and gave you keys to a brand new car, the natural response is to be skeptical and think, where's the catch? But this covenant of grace is a free, undeserved gift from God to his people, to you and to me. Grace is that which allows me to be in a relationship with my Father and enjoy this covenant. It is his grace which encourages me to worship and serve him. But this grace isn't cheap. This covenant which God has established through Christ for his church was bought at a heavy price. The price of his Son, Jesus Christ. We are privileged people in that we know God's love and we are invited to remain in his love, as Jesus told his disciples. Living within this covenant with God means that we are living as recipients of grace. And our response is to remain in God's love through worship and service and in total, absolute surrender to the lordship, the authority of Jesus Christ. We love God because he first loved us. Amen. Let us pray together. Father, we thank you for this covenant of grace, this covenant which you have initiated and established through Christ. A covenant which you invite us to be a part, to enjoy this loving relationship, and to surrender to your lordship, your authority, for we know that that is to live life to the full and to be truly human. So grant us the help of your Spirit as we come to renew our covenant with you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.